Welcome to the Tool Shed, a podcast covering all levels of professional baseball to help give you the edge in your dynasty leagues. From the MLB draft all the way to the show, the Tool Shed podcast has you covered with rankings, player analysis, and in-depth discussion. And now, here's your host, Eric Cross.
Welcome into another episode of the Tool Shed podcast brought to you by RotoBaller. This is episode 416. Thank you for joining me. I'm your host, Eric Cross. You can find me on Twitter at EricCrossMLB, and the show is at Tool Shed Pod. Got a packed house in the Tool Shed this week, doing an FYPD mock with three of the best in the business. First up, from RotoWire, he's the lead prospect analyst and senior baseball editor, Mr. James Anderson at RealJRAnderson on Twitter. James, how are you?
Great, Eric. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, always a pleasure having you on. And now we get to the dynamic Chris duo here. First, from Fantasy Pros and Betting Pros, he's a host and analyst there, and also the co-owner of In This League podcast and the Prospect One podcast, Mr. Chris Welsh at Is It The Welsh on Twitter. Welsh, how's it going, bud?
What's up, boys? Ready to FYPD it.
FYPD it, yeah. That's a good way to put it. Love that. All right. And making his long-awaited return to the Tool Shed and taking over the new most frequent guest role from Mr. Chris Welsh, I'm pretty sure. So we have a little dethrone here from the Dynasty Dugout and RotoBaller, an evaluator at Sox Prospects as well. You all know him, Chris at Chris Clegg, MILB. Mr. Chris Clegg, welcome back, bud.
Thank you. Yeah, I don't think anybody will ever dethrone the most recurring guest. If I'm classified as a guest for all those episodes, nobody's passing me ever.
Yeah, I think you have that on lockdown at this point.
Good to be back. Sure.
Yeah, good to have you back, man. It's gonna be a fun episode. We did a version of this back in right after the draft, so right in mid July or so. So I figure we do it again here in the off season as we usually do. See how things change. We got some game action from some of these guys, so it'll be fun to see how things have shifted up here. But before we get into all of that, though, the usual housekeeping. If you enjoy the pod, please rate and review. You can find all of my content either on RotoBaller or over on my Patreon, which is toolshedfantasy.com. And make sure you check out all of the great content over on RotoBaller with RotoBaller's Premium Pass. I know baseball season, at least for fantasy, is over, but RotoBaller's got football, basketball, hockey, everything you can need. And DFS lineup optimizers, free agent finders, prop picks, all the good stuff. The Premium Pass comes with a 100% money-back guarantee. Go to rotoballer.com/radio and use the discount code TOOLSHED at checkout. All right, let's get right into it. We're going to try to do at least 2024 picks, maybe some more if we're good on time here. We will snake. Order goes James, Clegg, Welsh, and then me. So without further ado, James, take it away.
Yeah, so we're just doing guys from the 2025 draft, and I'd probably go with an import from Japan if we had the whole universe of players here, but I'm going to go with Eli Willits. Kind of more of a floor pick is sort of the theory behind it here, just because I think there's a lot of guys that you could justifiably take at number one, but I know I'm going to have chances to take some shots with a bit more variance later on. And not only was Willits the number one overall pick, but he's the youngest of the players in consideration here. He also, I think, acquitted himself as well as the players who were initially kind of in this mix for me. I think some other players have had debuts that kind of pushed themselves into this mix, but of the guys that were, top three, top four, top five for me, some of them haven't debuted. Ethan Holiday, who was my number one before the draft, I think he had a worse debut than Willits. And so I'm just kind of defaulting to the guy I think is safer. I think you got a plus hit tool, plus speed, good body, good athleticism, good bloodlines, just a really high floor prospect. And then if the power comes along in 3-4 years, maybe there's a very high ceiling there as well.
Now, with there not being a clear-cut guy at the top this year, would you, if you had the number one pick in FYPD, James, would you, you know, look to maybe trade down a little bit and maybe get, you know, another pick or two later in the draft?
Yeah, maybe, especially in a deeper league, you know, like if it's shallow enough that it's going to snake back in time for me to get another pick in the top 16 or so, I might just sit tight. But again, like if I have the number one pick in a real one, I might be looking at Munetaka Murakami. But I'm not a high volume trader anyway. So most likely I would just keep the pick.
Gotcha. Yeah. This year it feels like, you know, you can go any number of four or five different picks with number one, including Murakami, you know, the three prep shortstops, even a pitcher or two. So yeah, very wide open this year. Not a lot of, you know, there's like no Wyatt Langford at the top this year, but all right, Mr. Clegg here, who you taking at number two?
Yeah, no, I still say, like, I think Willett's kind of holds to the top for me. I mean, his debut was fine. Like, the EVs didn't jump off the page, but really good contact numbers. The chase rate was, like, 22%. So on contact was, like, 87%. Some pretty good numbers there I thought was encouraging from Willett's. And I think the EVs probably do come with time. Launch angles look pretty good. But, yeah, that leaves Cade Anderson for me. Yeah, I think that the fit in Seattle is kind of perfect. You look at how they've developed pitchers, and they've done a really good job with that. And Anderson's kind of a complete package where you might see him at some point in 2026. Yes, the Mariners obviously have pretty deep rotation, but it wouldn't shock me if we saw Cade Anderson get fast-tracked. I mean, you know, the fastball, it's probably, you look at the traits on it, I know, like, it averaged 93, 94 last year. Clipped like 197, but really good traits on it. Good ride, and like 19, 20 inches of IVB from his release. Gets, you know, about average extension. But you look at the secondaries and how they play off, and, you know, I think that there's some, you know, four really good pitches with the four seam slider, change, and curve. Probably all at least above average pitches there that he goes to pretty often. So, yeah, you know, I look at these offerings. He throws them all for strikes. He's pretty consistent at, like, just high floor type arm. There's a cutter in the arsenal too. He doesn't throw it much, but it's there. If he wants to utilize it, wouldn't shock me if the Mariners kind of worked on that. But I just think, like, Willits is a great floor pick. I think Anderson's kind of the pitcher version of that. I think in this draft class, like, if there's ever a draft class to take a pitcher, like, at the top of an FYPD, like, you can make an argument this is it. And so I think Cade Anderson is just that combo of safe floor and plenty of upside as well to be a really solid, like, SP3 type with SP2 upside. And, you know, I'll take that chance with the Mariners' development, how good they've been.
Oh, for sure. And, it, man, if he becomes what people think he can be, that rotation in Seattle goes from already scary to even scarier. That's just, adding Cade Anderson into the mix would be insane. Now, Chris, do you think that, you know, obviously there's a few other pitchers that could do it, you know, Bremner, Doyle, et cetera. Do you think Anderson's one of the first, like, you know, two, three, four guys from this class to make it to the majors?
I would think so. It's tough to say. I mean, just given the Mariners and, you know, they haven't had a history of that, but also thinking they haven't had, like, this high floor type. So I think that he could be fast tracked. Yeah, obviously, like, there's other guys as well, like what, like you mentioned, like Doyle, I wouldn't be shocked, you know, Bremner, because it's the Angels. But yeah, I think that Anderson could be one of the first few that does debut from the class.
Awesome. All right, Welsh up to pick three. I know he had a certain guy at number one last time. I wonder if that guy is still his number one and who he's going to go with here.
Yeah, still number one. It'd take a lot for me to make a considerable change like that off of, like, you know, a month of bridge league or low end, like low A ball. So I'm not going to come off of it. And I've seen Ethan Holiday quite a few times. I actually thought I was taking Cade Anderson here because I thought it would go Holiday and Willits 1-2. And then I would be taking Cade and doing the justification. So this is the top three. I don't think it's, like, you know, it's written in stone or definitive. And listen, like Holiday's got some warts. I've seen him three different times now with the Rockies, and most recently was instructional. And it's funny because in the first go round, you know, you can obviously, like, the bat speed was on display. He ended up getting a hit, just showing, huge power, incredible bat speed. you could definitely see like advanced pitching is going to be a little bit in front of him. So that was where we got it. And then he went into pro ball, and I talked to him during instructs, and he, and actually I talked to Gavin Fien as well about both of them about going to low A prior. And, you know, Fien kind of echoed what Holiday said, like, it's a very different environment when you, you know, come off of high school and then you come here and you're hanging in Bridge League. He was like, routine. That's what Fien said to me. Fien was like, the routine was one of the craziest different things. So there's so much adjustment. And that's why I have a lot more, I give a lot more grace, I think, than most on like top end evaluations of what these guys are dealing with. All of that to be said, though, Holiday then comes in and instructs, goes up against the Rangers. And I've got a video out there where he met Mr. AJ Russell. And that's an advanced college pitcher. And AJ Russell absolutely ate him up. He did the thing that you would worry if Holiday didn't end up advancing. He threw him first big fastball, then secondaries, and then ended him with a big fastball up high. So he got a little taste of everything that Holiday's going to get as he progresses. So like, are there worries? Yeah, I think he's got a worse floor than a guy like Willits, but I also think the upside is like tremendously high. The power, middle of the order type of guy, great defender already. So I like Ethan Holiday. I like playing the upside game. I really do think though, from a hitting perspective, and Cross, I don't know where you're at with it, like, I know you had JoJo at one point. I really do think it's like definitively like Willits or Holiday. And then if you want the proximity, it's Cade Anderson. So I actually think you're like, for me, you would be in the toughest spot at four. It's probably going to be really great for you if you still have JoJo up high, but I am very happy to take Holiday here. And I might've even suggested maybe wanting to trade out of this spot. But you know, if you're someone like me who has Holiday at the top, this is wonderful. If you want proximity, Cade is there, and you want floor, Eli Willits, these are the core dudes. So I'm going to gladly take Holiday.
Yeah, so I had somebody in my Discord the other day, kind of in a similar spot. They were, and I think they were picking three or four, and you know, they're like, "Oh, I'm pretty sure, you know, so and so, like Holiday, and I forget who else they said, Holiday and Willits going 1-2. Do I take Anderson at three?" I'm like, "Yeah, absolutely. If you're, especially if you're contending or close to it, need some pitching, yeah, you know, I think Anderson's a phenomenal pick there." And yeah, I'm going to go with Parker at four, and I do realize that Parker at this point, out of the possible number one options, is probably the, you know, if you did like a poll between these four, you know, he probably gets between like 5% and 10% of it, and the other three will probably get, you know, 20 to 40% respectively. But you know, I still think he has the best blend of, you know, hit, power, speed, approach out of the three prep shortstops. This is my, you know, personal evaluation of him. So that's why, like, I'd be fine to be picking 3, 4, 5. I think you could see him fall to maybe pick 5 or 6 in the FYPD. Possibly. I can see maybe another, you know, arm or two. If you want one of the other college arms or whatever, maybe a Seth Hernandez. I could see them sneaking ahead of, or even like an Ivar Arquette or something like that. So yeah, I think Parker's, you know, FYPD ADP will probably be more like 5-ish. But yeah, I'll definitely be happy to take him here. I mean, no standout tool, but I think he could be plus power bats in time. He's a good feel to hit, not a burner by any means, but I think he'll be a guy that gives you, like, you know, at least 10 to 15 steals early on in his career. So definitely am a big JoJo Parker guy. So I'll take him here at four, and then I'll go right back to high school ranks and go Seth Hernandez at 5. I mean, obviously he's much further away than these, you know, the Doyles, the Andersons, the Bremners of the world. But yeah, I think the upside is maybe the highest. If everything clicks, talking like pure ceiling, you know, 90th percentile outcome, I think Hernandez might have the highest upside of any pitcher in this class. I think it's probably him or Anderson. I think they're the tier one of upside in terms of the arms in this class, a bit higher than Bremner and Doyle and all them. So I mean, potentially, let me talk about Seattle's rotation. Potentially, if Pittsburgh figure this out and Hernandez turns into something, you know, what people think he could be, you know, that rotation there in Pittsburgh could be really, really good in a few years, especially if Jared Jones comes back and, you know, continues on his ascension like he was before he got hurt. So, you know, Hernandez, you know, huge fastball. You know, he's got a really, really good changeup, maybe the best changeup in the class. Good feel for spin as well. You know, more advanced than most 18, 19-year-old arms you see. I mean, he was a Vandy commit, so, you know, it kind of tells you all you need to know. But Seth Hernandez, so he's going to be a really exciting one to follow. I mean, potentially future number one pitching prospect in the next year or two. That definitely is the upside we're talking about here with Hernandez. So I'll be happy to kind of take him in that, you know, 5-ish range of an FYPD, and another one you might be able to get a pick or two lower than that. So Parker at 4, Hernandez at 5 for me, and we're back to Welsh.
Yeah, I would have taken Seth had you gone in another direction. I kind of think, I'd be curious where you guys are at with it. Like, I feel like that's like the definitive five. Like that, those are the guys. And I know we, you know, we're gonna have other guys we fall in love with, but I don't know. I feel like that's like a pretty good definitive five. I'm gonna, at least Hernandez really belongs in there for me. I'm gonna go Iva Arquette. I like the proximity side of it already at high A. Big physical dude. Got almost 100 at bats. I really kind of thought he might be one of the guys we would see in the Arizona Fall League. The only guy that they brought from this draft class was Ethan Petry, and I thought Arquette would be one of those. Stole a few more bases than we thought. Didn't show off like any tremendous power. Only 6 of his 24 hits were extra base, but really, really good OBP. There's a bunch of league adjustments. I kind of talked about this, I think the last time we had done this, but I just happened to be coming off of talking with like Travis Bazana about like, he was just oohing and aahing about Iva Arquette. And I think there's just a lot in there and in the tool basket, if you will. But also like with what the Marlins are kind of doing just in general with some of their development, I think there's some unlocking to be had. So all of that aside, I like Iva Arquette as kind of the top, one of the top college bats here. So get a middle infielder, big boy with some speed. That's where I'm going to go with my, what is that, fifth pick?
Sixth pick, yeah. Miami, yeah, they definitely need some power on that team. So Miami's a lot of like contact, you know, the speedy type. So Arquette becoming what people think he could be would be a big boost for that Miami team for sure. All right, back to Mr. Clegg here with pick 7.
All right. Thinking about deviating a little bit, but I'll stick to my rankings and take Steele Hall here with the Reds. And, you know, when I look at him, I'm honestly not sure if Steele Hall and Eli Willits will be all that different players. And I think Hall might have a little more upside. Some of the bat speed that he's flashed, the EVs that he's put up are pretty impressive, and he's a smaller guy with speed. But yeah, I think the tools, you know, are just a touch louder than most people kind of expect from Hall. And you know, he was really good, you know, throughout the Bridge League, which is an encouraging sign. I think that he'll step into an order, obviously in full season ball next year, and people are going to see Statcast data on him. They might go crazy over him. So he could really move up to be in the Florida State League with Daytona. But one of the youngest players in the class, he reclassified from 2026 to the 2025 class. Really good athlete, just moves so well, just so consistent, line drives to all fields, really good clock times. And I think the power really ticks up here with Hall, given some of the numbers I've seen. So I think Hall is a pretty sneaky pick in this class that has a lot of upside and floor to play with.
Yeah, I've seen a wide range of thought process and rankings on Steele Hall. Some people like really love him, others aren't, you know, as high on him. So it'll be interesting to see where he goes in the vast majority of FYPDs. I think he could be a really wide range one. Like Welsh, it'd be interesting to see where he goes in all of yours. I think that's going to be one of the bigger variance picks of at least of like the, you know, the top, you know, 10, 20 guys or so.
What do you mean in the P1 ADPs?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, he didn't go inside the top 12. I think I listed off on my episode the top 12, and he wasn't in there. You know what's funny about him? He's the one guy I didn't see. He's like the one of the rookie class, and it really irks me too, because kind of on the other end, I heard some negatives. I heard some pretty bad negatives, but like I don't know how much to trust the negatives just from, you know, people around here, because they definitely don't have, Clegg, if you're seeing any data and anything like that, like they don't have who telling me these are just some eye looks and it wasn't super great. But I think that's kind of the thing, is like the tools are there. Will it compete? Pro debut, you know, on some side love it, some don't. And I never got to get a look at it. I never did. And I really wish I had, but he did not go inside the top 12 of the P1 ADPs of first year player guys.
Gotcha. Okay. All right, back to James for picks 8 and 9.
Yeah, I would have taken Hall here. I've got him in my top 5, and I actually think like I don't see as big of a drop off. Honestly, like I'm still picking from the same tier as I was when I was picking first. Like I've just got a big tier here, it leaves me with just I'm gonna have to leave some guys I really want to take here on the table. But I'll take Jamie Arnold. I think, you know, Cade Anderson had the perfect landing spot with Seattle. Jamie Arnold, probably less so. I think it's just the fact he went to the A's dings his sort of FYPD ADP a little bit, but they're not going to be playing in Sacramento forever, even though Arnold might be up in time to pitch there. I just think he's, you know, a lefty with a couple monster pitches, big time track record. Yeah, it's really just a really impressive track record. He's got 2 years plus the Cape. And I just think, you know, the A's, I hate the park, but I think they know what they're doing. I think they can develop him just fine. And he'll be in a normal park soon enough. And then Andrew Fisher will be my next pick. Brewers corner infielder made it to high A after getting drafted. And I think he's the best college hitter in the class. Probably the Brewers first baseman of the future. Not impossible that he could be ready in 2026, but I just think there's kind of a logjam of first base prospects in that system. I think Fisher would really sort of have to kind of kick the door down, which is possible. And I'm sure that he's kind of the preferred option there over guys like Blake Burke long-term and Brock Wilkin, et cetera. But I don't think the Brewers will put up with his defense at third base. So I am assuming Fisher will be a first baseman, but I just think the bat is good enough to take a swing there. I think it's, you know, above average hit, above average power, but a chance for a little bit more in both. So Jamie Arnold and Andrew Fisher, couple college prospects.
Yeah, Fisher's a guy that I already liked when they did my initial rankings, but I moved him up a little bit since my that initial set of rankings over the last couple of months. Yeah, I like that bat a lot. He went 18th back in the mock we did in July, so a nice little bump up there for Andrew Fisher. Yeah, it will be interesting to see how all those corner infield bats for them work out and who emerges as the, you know, the guys for Milwaukee for the future there. But yeah, I do like Fisher a lot as well. All right, back over to Chris Clegg for pick 10.
I'm deviating from my ranks, and I'm leaving somebody on the board that I don't want to, but I don't want to leave the draft without this guy, and that's Dax Kilby, who definitely moved up for me more than anybody in the debut. And again, I don't like overestimate a small sample, but I also look at what Dax Kilby did, and it was extremely impressive. Is it a perfect prospect? No, but it's a young prospect to step in to pro ball and to put up the kind of EVs that he did and to put up the absurd contact and approach numbers with Wood. I mean, it stands out in such a big way. His max was near 110. His ninth percentile was above MLB average already, you know, north of 104. It was a lot of things that you want to see. And the contact numbers were off the charts. His zone contact was north of 90%. The chase rate was 8%. The only kind of flaw in the profile was just the ground balls. Launch angles were kind of inconsistent, but still the barrel rate was strong, like at 11%. So, you know, Kilby did a lot of things where you look at him, you're like, yeah, this kid could have all the intangibles and he could really take off and soar up rankings. And so, yeah, Kilby's the guy now that I'm kind of like, don't want to leave the FYPD without. And I know he's going to have to go. You're going to have to take him pretty early, I think, in most FYPDs at this point. But it's one that I think's worth taking a shot on. Like when you look and you compare him to any other prep hitter in the class, and I'm just not sure you can say, like, you know, what's the difference in really any of these guys. And, you know, with what Kilby flashed, I think the upside's there for a pretty impressive player if all clicks. So, you know, I think he's worth a spot here in the top 10, even if it means leaving somebody I've got ranked higher on the board out there.
Yeah, I can really see him. Yeah, given the debut, given the, you know, the name on the jersey, well, the future name of the jersey being a Yankees prospect.
Yeah,
obviously those guys always get bumped up a little bit, especially when they have a really good season. So yeah, if he comes out hot in 2026, yeah, I think he's going to be a guy that, you know, obviously FOPDs will be done by that point, but and just in general prospect rankings, he could be a huge, huge riser. So yeah, Kilby, very impressive debut, and I got it. Yeah, he wasn't drafted in our July one, so that shows you how impressive he was and just the skill set that he has. Pick 11 now from Welsh.
Man, I like echoing Clegg. Like, there's just a gut. There's quite a few guys that I want here. This is definitely a big grouping. Knowing like, I'm going to take this one guy and then I'm going to have a couple left. I'll just have to deal with it. But a guy that has moved up for me, and I don't know if this is the guy for you at all, Clegg, but I got to go with Gavin Fien.
Yeah. Gavin Fien was the one that.
Yeah. And I've seen Gavin quite a few times. Yeah. And from the beginning of Bridge League to Instruct, I mean, I'm not sure I saw a guy make better, more positive strides than him. He was in that same Instructs game a couple weeks ago, AJ Russell, Ethan Holiday, and he was going up against, I'm forgetting the guy's name, he's a Rockies pitcher, he was like a third or fourth rounder, and Gavin just turned on him. And that's what Gavin's been doing. He has been turning on balls, big physical approach. Very, like I said before, I got to speak with him for a minute, very just mature, just like, you know, not overwhelmed. He was just like, yeah, you know, it was great to go to low A. It was really good for me to learn the routine because it was so much different than what he was doing with the Bridge League. And I think that mentally kind of helped unlock some stuff. Back out here, making moves. I think he's going to run some, plays really good defense, made a really good defensive play. He has got big and projectable power. He is a definite riser for me. I think he's like a top 10 first year player guy, and he just happens to fall out of it. And that's just, you know, we have this weird structure. There's like these really great college pitchers we're kind of passing on, and then there's a couple of these high school guys. I think there's some really good floor high school guys, and then there's a couple that we're dreaming on. Dax kind of falls in that, like Clegg is putting him in, where it's like you're dreaming on the tools. I think Fien kind of has some of that feel and the dream on tool, so I just couldn't pass him up here.
Based on hundreds of millions of real-world tests, the experts at Ookla Speedtest have spoken. T-Mobile is now the best mobile network in America. So you can keep up with all the MLB action from the ballpark to the backcountry because they've got the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. Oh, and did I mention the largest satellite-to-mobile network? They're way ahead making sure that fans experience every pitch, play, and post-game moment. So whether you're streaming the game out and about, checking stats on the road, or experiencing ballpark perks with Magenta status, you're ready to stay connected wherever your fandom takes you. Head over to T-Mobile.com/network to switch to the best network. For baseball fans, it's better over here. Based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence, data first half 2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Yep, I have him 10th on the dot in my rankings too. So, yep, very high on Fien as well. I'm going to go college routes on these two picks after going high school on my first two. I'm going to go Ethan Conrad here at pick, where are we at here, 12, with the Chicago Cubs. One of my, you know, actually is my favorite college bat from the 2026 draft. You know, plenty of power and future home ballpark, I think, is a play right into his strength there. Like, I think this is a 25 to 30 homer bat, you know, down the road. And he's far more than just, you know, he's not just like an all or nothing, you know, boom or bust power bats. Like, I know, you know, Lavalette has a little bit of that. You know, though Lavalette has more power than Conrad in general. I mean, I think Conrad is a better pure hitter. He can run a good bit too, you know, like Lavalette can. But I feel a little bit safer when you get to the college bats here. You know, the sexy one's Lavalette, but I feel just a bit safer with Conrad. Doesn't quite have the overall upside. Like, if they both, you know, 90th percentile outcome is higher for Lavalette than it is for Ethan Conrad. But I feel a lot safer with Conrad, and I think he's got plenty of power. Again, I think he could be a plus or better power bat that gives you like 10 to 15 steals as well. You know, good OBP guy, gets on base, keeps the K rate in check, so. Lot to like here from Ethan Conrad. So I'll go with him here at pick 12. And then I will swing it back around with another college bat here who had a really good landing spot. Ike Irish, who went to the Baltimore Orioles, obviously one of the best development systems in all of baseball. He had a really good last couple of years at the University of Auburn, you know, a guy that played some catcher, some outfield. I still think he's an outfielder. I think they did announce him as a catcher, but you know, given all the catchers Baltimore already has, I think Irish ends up in the outfield, and I think he's better out there anyway. Not really a great defensive catcher as of now, though he does have a really good arm, so I think that'll play well in a corner outfield spot. But a guy that's just a really polished hitter, walks a ton, doesn't strike out that much, plenty of all fields power. I think he could be a 25 plus homer guy that gets on base at a high clip as well, and contact skills are pretty good as well. So I think this could be a really good fit there. I think he's going to be a corner outfielder with Baltimore for years to come, and a really exciting player for fantasy as well. So Ethan Conrad at 12, Ike Irish at pick 13, back to Welsh for pick 14.
So I'm going to deviate a little bit. That's the fun about doing these experiments. We have our ranks and stuff like that, but then there's just, sometimes you see these players that are falling, and I think this is a really good spot, regardless of some soreness in his elbow, to take Tyler Bremner. I also like Liam Doyle. I'm not going to lie. I pretty decent pro debut, big fastball, but Bremner's got the arsenal. They're really babying him. He'd been out here, I think, pretty much the whole time. He did not pitch at all during instructs or anything like that due to some soreness in his elbow. It was mentioned actually just a little bit ago, but that's okay. Let him rest. Let him get set for next season. We know how aggressive this team is, for better or for worse. Maybe the negative of taking a guy like Bremner here is that, the development of the Angels is kind of disastrous, but he's got, it's kind of like the Seth Hernandez stuff. He has got minimum 2+ pitches, and I'm going to take the bet on my first pitcher here, a little bit of college pitching. I really did battle between taking Liam Doyle and frankly like four other guys. So it's a really good range, but this represents like my pick is the second to last in like a 15 team roto. And I think James and I talked about this when I did your show. Didn't we both do the whole like the Bremner hate is getting kind of big? Like he didn't even go in like the top. I'm not even sure if he went in the top 150 of my first year player. He didn't go in the top 12, but he was really.
Yeah, I didn't understand. Like I think I got him in my P180P, and I was just it's just only the Angels thing. Like if he'd gone to the Mariners and Kate Anderson had gone to the Angels, like everyone would be falling over themselves to get Tyler Bremner. And I agree. It's not like perfect that he went to the Angels, but it shouldn't just be like, forget about Tyler Bremner.
Yeah. That he sucks now. Yeah, exactly. It's like their development is absolutely like questionable in nature. And maybe the high rise can be part of a problem, but at the same time though, like he is uber talented, and he is, when you're having the conversation of like who are the guys that are going to be up first, Bremner's probably not now. I think he was a good bet. I would say simply because he didn't throw at all. Not that Cade was doing a whole bunch. I know he was here. He's actually doing a high performance camp out here right now with the Mariners. Bremner's not doing anything. So I think that lack of time pushes it back a tiny bit for him to be one of the top guys, but we like in general know he's going to be up there. So I'm going to lock in Bremner here, even against some of my own better wishes of some really great players that are still on the board.
Yeah, I was just about to say the same thing about the Angels. Obviously, I think anybody going to the Angels, kind of people get scared away. But yeah, I feel like it's been way too much in terms of with Bremner. And you could say the same thing about Toronto's pitching development a few years ago. And then look, they've had some success stories the last year or two. So obviously, Savage just absolutely shoved today. 11 strikeouts over, was it 5 1/3 no hit innings. Sandifer, Watts, Brown, they've had a lot of success stories there in Toronto. So I mean, yeah, the Angels, I do shy away a little bit, or I'll just have a little bit of caution with the Angels. But a lot of talent, like you said, with Tyler Bremner. So hopefully he can kind of buck the trend, and he might be one of the, obviously with the Angels, he might be one of the first ones, if not the first one up out of this 2025 class. So Tyler Bremner there at 14, over to Chris Clegg, pick 15.
Yeah, I think gotta take Liam Doyle here. I think the fall is just too much for him. He's uber talented. I mean, it's big stuff, starting with the fastball. It's touches triple digits, average 96 this year with pretty nasty traits like 20 inches of ride, 11 horizontal, pretty flat vertical approach. I think his splitter is pretty nasty as well. Splitter produced some really good results. Cutter played a big part of his game this year that he kind of added in. That cutter worked like 88 up to 92. So pretty impressive numbers there, and even the slider. And he kind of used all those secondaries pretty equally between the cutter, slider, and split. you know, there's kind of a different shape changeup that doesn't throw often. There's a curve that he'll drop in from time to time, but not often used. So it is a pretty deep arsenal. I think people kind of get caught up on Doyle's, like, it's just fastball. But, you know, there, while he is fastball heavy, in the day, like, there's still plenty in the tank. It is interesting because we talk about development system. The Cardinals dev really hadn't been that great. But again, I think the talent's here. It's almost one of those guys you just like get out of the way of and, you know, let him do his thing because the talent's there. I'm not sure like how much more you can really do with this kind of arsenal. And I thought the strike throwing was pretty good last year. It was pretty improved. I mean, we saw a strike rate of 69% on the four seam, which is good. Yeah, the split was a 66% strike rate, slider 63% strike rate. So some really good numbers in college. And you talk about a guy that's had questionable command at times. I think that you look at his like locations, his competitive locations, and those sorts of things, and he really looked good, and the numbers check a lot of boxes I want to see. So Doyle, you know, I think the upside's there for him to be maybe the best pitcher in the class if all clicks. So for him to fall this far, you know, I think it's a pretty good value pick with Liam Doyle.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's got to be some people that are falling in this draft with how close everybody is. These giant, you know, bigger tiers that we have, especially at the top of this draft, I think you're going to see, you know, both hitting and pitching, you're going to see somebody fall, you know, whether it's one of the prep shortstops or one of these collegiate arms. I think you're going to have a chance to get some good values in FYPDs this year, for sure. All right, so 15 down, 9 to go. We're back to Mr. James Anderson for picks 16 and 17.
Yeah, so I think the strength of this class for me, even for fantasy, is the college starters. And, you know, it's not that fun to take pitching prospects high in an FYPD, but I do think we're going to look back at this class and there's going to be three or four college starters that are SP2s or better. And I've got Gage Wood and I've got Kyson Witherspoon. Witherspoon with the Red Sox, Gage Wood with the Phillies, and just two big-time power righties. You know, Gage Wood had that remarkable College World Series game against Murray State, 19 Ks, no hitter. He's kind of got that same sort of thing as like Cade Horton from a few years ago, where it's only been, you know, not close to a starter's workload, but what he's flashed as a starter gives you a lot of upside to dream on. And then with Witherspoon, we haven't seen him make his debut yet, but I mean, the Red Sox pitching development of late has done a lot with pitchers that do not have Witherspoon's tools. And so I'm just really excited to see what they can do with Witherspoon. And yeah, I mean, like there's going to be some busts on the pitching side. Both these guys throw hard enough that injuries could happen before they get to the big leagues. But I think they're going to be on a pretty fast track as long as they can stay healthy. And like, I think the upside with Wood and with Witherspoon is such that I just have to hit on one of them to make this an okay turn.
Yeah, definitely. And as a Red Sox fan, I am extremely excited to see what this, you know, our pitching dev can do with Witherspoon. Obviously, this was a banner year for Red Sox prospects on the pitching side, on both sides, really, but especially on the pitching side, where we've always been pretty good developing hitters over the last, you know, decade plus. Pitching had kind of been not so great in terms of, you know, success stories for Boston. You know, going back to like, you know, the Papelbons and Lesters and Buckles and all them. So this year was just phenomenal to see, you know, some of these guys pop, you know, like totally early, et cetera. And you know, got several more guys that could definitely pop again next year too. So yeah, Witherspoon in this system, as a Red Sox fan, I am extremely excited to see what they do with him. Yeah, the stuff is absolutely nasty. All right, Clegg for pick 18.
All right, this is where it gets kind of fun, I think. You can go quite a few different ways. And golly, I really hate to go back to the pitching well. I feel like I've taken too many pitchers, but I'm going to go with Cruz Schoolcraft, who
nice.
He's among some of the best, maybe the best prep pitcher in the class. You know, time will tell, but Schoolcraft checked a lot of boxes. You know, he's honestly like, very reminiscent of like early career Noah Schultz when he really began to take off. Obviously, the big frame, 6'8". You know, not all those guys can be starters. They don't all develop as starting pitchers. But this was a case where coming in the draft, I wasn't totally sure, you know, how Schoolcraft, you know, would develop. But he comes out and the velocity is there. It's upper 90s already. He's throwing changeups near 90 miles an hour. He's doing a lot of things that you want to see. And it's really smooth when you watch him, just really smooth mechanics from, you know, that big frame. The extension is off the charts. The slider, you know, if the slider is the third pitch right now, it's a pretty good third pitch. You know, and I thought what we saw, you know, just the glimpses that we saw of him, I don't know if you get to see him or not, Welsh, but, you know, I was really impressed with everything I've seen from Cruz Schoolcraft. So prep arms are certainly risky. And yeah, like I said, I didn't necessarily want another arm here, but that's where I landed. And, you know, kind of at this point, like, he was the highest ranked guy on the board for me. So yeah, that's where I'm going, is lefty Cruz Schoolcraft.
Now, do we think that he actually makes his major league debut with the Padres?
No.
Like, what percent chance does he debut with the Padres? Like, I'll say 40%. Anybody going above 50% chance? 40. That's probably like too high, isn't it?
25%.
20.
Yeah.
That's funny. It's pro. He loves wheeling and dealing. I don't know if he's allowed to play fantasy baseball, but I'm sure he'd be one of those managers that's always talking to you about making trades. But hey, it makes it fun. I like guys that like him that like to wheel and deal. Cruz Schoolcraft. He likes those guys with the first name start with K. Cruz, Kale. Cash. Yeah, Cash.
Cash with K.
He's Roger Clemens, just his kids, just naming them all K. That's what he likes to do.
Yep. Yeah, they got a type for sure. But yeah, Schoolcraft, really fun arm there. All right, pick 19, Mr. Welsh.
All right. Yeah, all this pitching is getting kind of gross. Like, yeah. Gross as in we're just taking so much. But okay, there are some really,
five in a
really
row.
Good arms. Yeah, it's a lot. But also, like, look at where we're at. We're in the teens. That's one of the cool things. That's why I think, you know, from like a philosophy standpoint, or, you know, like a strategy standpoint, like if people think like taking Steel, like they wouldn't if James got them a top five, you're not going to think that. But if you think like Hall and Dax and Fiend feel high, it's like that's why you should take those guys, because there's just so much interesting pitching that's a little bit later. I still like quite a few players here. I'm going to go with Jace Lavalette. I think, I don't know where James and Clegg are across. I feel like you and I are kind of in on him. Big, big physical, big body guy, 6'6", 230 plus. There's physical similarities to like Chase DeLauder, hopefully not injury similarities. Some of the absolute biggest power in this class. I think he's going to be able to pull the ball. He's just got major swing and miss in his game. But if there's a team that I think can do a really good job of working through that development, it is the Guardians. I think Manzardo had some of those issues. So this was a guy that was seen at one point prior to injury as a potential number one overall pick. Again, similar to DeLauder. There's a lot of similarities in there. And I think the power is going to play. A worrisome piece would be you get like the not speed version of Spencer Jones with him, but then like you might legitimately get like a Chase DeLauder type. So to get a college bat, he spent a lot of time out here in the complex working with the team. He's still kind of like full season recovery stuff. He's going to get to really get at it this season. I think he is pretty tooled up, and I love to make bets on power, and I'm getting him at 19, almost in the 20s. So I think it's a pretty good spot for a college bat.
Yeah, he went 20th overall in our June version of this, or July, excuse me. So, yep, kind of right in that same range. Yeah, I have him as my number 12 guy. In this draft, though, I've kind of moved him around a little bit. You know, some days I think he's going to be an absolute stud. Other days, you know, obviously the red flags kind of get into my brain a little bit more when looking at my rankings. But yeah, he's I think without question the biggest boomer bust guy, even more boomer bust than like, you know, Ethan Holliday. I think with everything clicks, this guy could be a monster. And if not, maybe he fizzles out and doesn't even make it. So he's going to be a fun one to follow. That is for sure. Regardless of which way it goes. So, all right, level at 19. So back to me for 20 and 21. I'm going to go out to Welsh's world here in Arizona. I'm going Kason Cunningham from the Arizona Diamondbacks. He went pick 18 to them in the draft. High school prep shortstop, was committed to Texas. And a really fun blend of, you know, field of hits, speed. He's a really good athlete, especially on the bases, you know, plus or better runner. Was, I think, solid power projection too. I mean, I don't think he's gonna be a masher by any means, but you know, could he be, you know, 15 plus homer guy? I think so. I think there's definitely additional power to unlock, a little bit of projection on the frame. So if he adds a little bit of bulk here in the next couple of years, I think you could see that power tick up to being, you know, maybe around average game power. I think that definitely isn't out of the question here. He's one of the more advanced prep guys in this draft class. He's one where, like, I don't think there's a massive gap between, you know, guys like Kason Cunningham and even the top prep shortstops. So if I could, you know, trade in personally, if I was in the top few picks and had a chance to trade from, like, let's just say pick 3 to getting, I don't know, like picks 10 and 16 or something like that, where I can get a couple of these guys, yeah, I think I definitely would entertain that for sure. So I think Cunningham could be just as good as those top prep shortstops and doesn't get nearly as much love as those big 3 or 4 do. So I will go with Cunningham here at pick 20. Let's see, pick 21 for me. I mean, I can go 14 different ways here. I'm probably going to go with Brendan Summerhill, outfielder who went to the Tampa Bay Rays. He's a really fun, you know, fantasy friendly profile here. You know, not a one that stands out in any one particular area, but just really solid across the board. Good feel to hit. You know, he's a Arizona, University of Arizona. He's a college guy. You know, good feel to hit. You know, decent power projection as well. Could be, I think, another 15 to 20 homer guy. And he's a good above average to plus runner as well. A really nice left-handed swing. You know, I think he can, you know, he can generate loft pretty naturally, even if he's not like the biggest raw power guy. You know, I think the combination of raw power and batted ball angles could lead to, I mean, maybe some 20-ish homer seasons. So I think he's going to be a really fun, well-rounded, you know, outfielder. Not really any massive red flags here. So Brendan Summerhill is my pick here at pick 21. So we're back to Welsh for pick 22.
I clearly wanted Cunningham. I really wanted to see where he was going to go in this, but I definitely wanted him. But I did have Lavalette a little bit higher. So I've only got one guy. If you want to consider like the top 15, like your first round, if you're considering Roto, I only have one guy left that's in my first top 15, and I'm going to take him. That is Xavier Nayans with the Houston Astros. I love Nayans. And I also like those big-bodied power players to bet on. And I just did it with Lavalette. Gavin Fien, I think, kind of qualifies in there. But Nayans, to me, I think there's a much better opportunity for less swing and miss in his game. He has, I mean, graded out, whether you want to call it, like, you know, 65, 70 grade power coming out of high school. Big body frame dude, wants to continue playing shortstop. Also, as a complete side note, watched one of the Astros broadcasts where he came in, and just what a smart, articulate dude who understands. It actually gave me Max Clark vibes about a guy that like has that routine, knows what he wants to work on, pays attention to EVs, analytic. Like, I liked everything that I saw out of it. I think he's a super, super smart hitter. I think he's gonna be a third baseman. I don't think he's gonna be a shortstop, though he wants to stick at that. But he actually had cited on there that one of his idols was Corey Seager, you know, and trying to be one of those big body guys, just kind of like a similar swing path that's in there. I think Nayans is gonna be able to kill some of the questionable contact stuff, and he has got absolute big game power. So I'm very excited to get Nayans here at 22.
Yeah, definitely a lot of power potential there with Xavier Nayans. Really, you know, if he gets to be like just a plus power guy, that's going to be a fun, you know, 25-30 homer bat. But I think he could be even more than that. So be fun to see how he develops and if the contact skills are there for him to maximize that power. So really fun pick there as well. All right, two more picks here. Last one for Mr. Clegg.
Yeah, I always like to make my last pick in these mocks kind of like just a upside dart. And this player is somebody that's really grown on me a lot. And that's Ethan Frey of the Astros. And he's a big body dude. He's 6'6", 225. He's younger for the draft. He just turned 21, you know, not long before the draft. But, you know, really good career at LSU. And somebody that really popped in pro ball. And honestly, just like going back and looking at the numbers, it was like, man, like this guy just like was exceptionally better. Like the surface numbers were good, but for somebody that played sparingly for his first 2 years, like, man, this dude like was off the charts. I mean, he won the best average EVs in college baseball last year at 96 miles an hour. He had a 116 and a half max, a 109 90th percentile. And it wasn't just power. I mean, the chase rate was 19%. Zone contact rate was 90%. So it's like stupid data across the board. And that's exactly what he did in pro ball. Like nothing really changed. It was a sub 20% chase rate again. It was a 85% zone contact, a 95 mile an hour average EV with wood across 122 plate appearances. And he topped it 114 with a 108 90th. So it's like stupid power with a really good approach and contact skills. And there might be some sneaky speed. I'm not sure he's going to steal a lot, but he did run. So he stole 9 bases in 122 plate appearances, more than he had at LSU. So I'm not counting on that. But I think that this was a really good third-round pick by the Astros, Data Darling, near 1 mil bonus. And, you know, I just look at Ethan Frey, and it's like, man, this kid could be something for them. And I just think that he's got all the intangibles you want to see. And it was probably the best combination of college data. And it was certainly the best combo of data, in my opinion, of any pro debut from the draft class. So, you know, certainly somebody that should be moving up, maybe not this high, but I'm kind of like irrationally high on him at this point.
I have a feeling I know somebody who's going to make your, you're not leaving with, you know, without this guy in your FYPD post.
Probably.
I get a feeling. Probably see him in your post this year. But yeah, back-to-back powerful Houston prospects here at picks 22 and 23. Now we're over to James to round us out with the 24th pick.
Yeah, I like the Frey pick. There's like a dozen guys that I got valued similarly here, but I'll take Charles DeVallon of the Dodgers. Left field, second base, better in fantasy than reality type of guy. But he might, he might have above average speed, might end up with plus speed, and might end up with a above average to plus hit tool. He's a college guy from Arkansas, but he's really just been, improving every year. He's from Montreal originally, transferred from Florida Gulf Coast, but kind of changed his setup after the Cape Cod League last summer and really took off for Arkansas this past year. So also looked good in his pro debut before getting hurt. So I honestly don't even love the fact that he's with the Dodgers, because they're going to move him so slowly up the ladder. But I liked him before the draft and I still like him. So Charles DeBallon.
All right, to recap the 24 picks, Eli Willits, Cade Anderson, Ethan Holliday, JoJo Parker, and Seth Hernandez went 1 through 5. 6 through 10, Ivar Arquette, Steele Hall, Jamie Arnold, Andrew Fisher, and Dax Kilby. 11 through 15, Gavin Fien, Ethan Conrad, Ike Irish, Tyler Bremner, and Liam Doyle. 16 through 20, Gage Wood, Kyson Witherspoon, Cruz Schoolcraft, Jace Lavallette, and Kayson Cunningham. And 21 through 24, Brendan Summerhill, Xavier Nians, Ethan Frey, and Charles Davelin. All right, that's going to wrap us up. Before we get out of here, let's go quickly around the horn. I know, off-season is upon us, but all of us do dynasty and prospect work, obviously, so still plenty to go around. So, Clegg, what do you got going on over at the Dynasty Dugout coming up?
Just writing up every team's top 30 prospects, so the Athletics will be out today as you're listening to this show. Just kind of trying to hit on some tough to rank MLB players as well, kind of do some deep dive in the profile. But yeah, the next 3-4 months will just be nothing but film and data diving and writing up every team's top 30.
Awesome. James, what are you going on over at RotoWire?
Yeah, brand new top 400 prospect rankings update was released on Wednesday. And then I'll have a redraft 2026 redraft top 300 up Monday or Tuesday on RotoWire.com, and then a dynasty rankings update later in the week. So lots of good stuff over at RotoWire.
And Mr. Welsh, what do you got going on over at all of your places?
Everybody knows what I got going on for the next 6 weeks. Arizona Fall League out here locally. It starts up, I'm assuming this is going to release Monday. So
yep.
Arizona Fall League debut, I will be out. I'm going to be out pretty much every game. Not going to Tucson next week. That's not happening. But I'll stay here. I will be covering the Arizona Fall League on my show, Prospect One. I will have lots of updates as far as my top 500, my dynasty. We have the prospect ADPs that are out that you guys all took part in. But yeah, I mean, the big stuff is obviously going to just be Arizona Fall League coverage and hoping to do some player interviews, do some unique stuff. And hopefully, I don't know what faces I'm going to see. I think I'll see Clegg's face here soon and hopefully see some of your guys' faces over the next couple weeks. But yes, all Arizona Fall League. Come and hang out. I've already got things in my mind. I've already been around some of the players. I already know who the biggest personality here is in the Fall League, and I'm targeting to interview him. I can already see some of the potential breakouts coming out, and I'm just I'm pretty stoked about it. So at Is It The Welsh on Twitter and the Patreon in thisleague.com. That's where all my stuff is living.
Perfect. Yeah, and I will see you in a little under a month. I'm going to be out there on the 3rd of November, so counting down the days. Definitely looking forward to it, getting out in some Arizona sunshine and watching some more baseball. So again, thanks to James, Chris Clegg, and Chris Welsh for joining me on this episode of The Tool Shed. I'll be back with you again later this week. But until then, everyone take care.